afternoon, and thank you for standing by. I'd like to inform all participants that your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. Today's call is also being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Rob Gruenendaal. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to provide some information on the funding opportunity from the Center for Innovation and Partnership. Is the Assistive Technology Alternative Financing Program. The funding opportunity number is HHS-2022-ACL-CIP-ATTF-0055. Just want to make sure that everyone is in the correct call for this afternoon. And so wanted to let folks know that with respect to this funding opportunity announcement, that you're strongly encouraged to submit your application a minimum of 3 to 5 days prior to the application closing date. That application closing date for this opportunity is June 28, 2022. Applications that do not meet the application due date will not be reviewed and will receive no further consideration for this opportunity. So again, just want to remind folks, do not wait until the last day in the event that you encounter some technical difficulties with the submission process. And so you want to ensure that everything is in compliance with grants.gov. Familiar with that website, which is www.grants.gov, as it can potentially take up to 48 hours to notify you of a successful submission of your application. There's a due date for the letter of intent. That is June 3rd. While it's not required, the letter of intent is helpful to this review process for assistive technology alternative financing programs. So the purpose of the FY 2022 Assistive Technology Alternative Financing Program, AFP, is to support programs that provide for the purchase of AT devices, such as low-interest loan fund, interest buy-down program, revolving loan fund, a loan guarantee, or an insurance program, to name some examples. The AFP will expand and emphasize consumer choice and control for individuals with disabilities across the lifespan. State agencies and community-based disability organizations that are directed by and operated for individuals with disabilities shall be eligible to compete for this funding opportunity. Applications should incorporate credit-building activities in their programs, including financial education and information about other possible funding sources. Successful applications must emphasize consumer source and control, build programs that will provide financing for the full array of assistive technology devices and services, and ensure that all individuals with disabilities, regardless of type of disability or health condition, age, level of income, and residence, have access to the alternative financing program. The Consolidated Appropriations Act authorized HHS, ACL, Administration for Community Living, to assist individuals with disabilities, as noted, of any age to obtain financial assistance for AT devices and services. So under this FOA, this funding opportunity announcement, applicants must establish or expand one or more of the following types of alternative financing programs of AFPs, alternative financing mechanisms. I mentioned some examples that include alternative financing loan programs such as the low-interest loan fund, interest buy-down program, revolving loan fund, loan guarantee insurance program operated for the purchase, lease, or other acquisition of assistive technology devices or assistive technology services, another mechanism that provides financing and is also approved by the Secretary of HHS. Health and Human Services. So the application must contain some components that are listed in the funding opportunity announcement. The administrative policies and procedures, there would be an assurance that within the first 3 months, policies and procedures document would be submitted to ACL, and there are some components within there that would, you know, ensure that through this funding, the applicant would identify the type or types of AFP to be supported by the grant and submit the contents of the policies and procedures for review and process of timely manner request for financial assistance for assistive technology needs for individuals in communities, and eligibility determination of specific AT device or service to be financed through the program. The policy and procedure to ensure individuals are allowed to apply for financing for, as noted, a full array of AT, regardless of type of disability or health condition, age, income level, and everything that we talked about in terms of location of residence, type of AT device or service requested for financing through that program. It is permissible for programs to target individuals with disabilities who would have been denied conventional financing as a priority for the AFP funding. A policy or procedure for sustaining the AFP, grantees must provide a sustainability plan that identifies that what is expected to be needed on the ongoing basis for the program in order to ensure that there's continued funding for the program and availability of funds to continue on beyond that initial federal grant award. Policy for incorporating credit building activities into the AFP. And also, in addition to the administrative policies and procedures, there would be fiscal and reporting assurances that the applicant would submit. The grantee would draw down, place all federal funds in a restricted account with the use of such funds limited to implementation of the alternative financing program. The grantee is permitted to draw down the entire award in advance to capitalize the loan funds so the funds are placed in a restricted account. The grantee will expend funds in restricted account solely for the purpose originally designated for the implementation of the AFP, and this restricted fund will continue until all federal and other dollars placed in the restricted fund are expended for that purpose. So in terms of some of the reporting, there's the requirement noted within the 3 months for the submission of policies and procedures for the program. There's also a semi-annual report in addition to a final federal financial report and programmatic report as prescribed by the Administration for Community Living at the conclusion of that one-year grant award. For previous grant recipients, it would be noted that there were information must be submitted on the previous amounts that were awarded by ACL, I should say. So there is a chance that some of the applicants have previously received grant awards funded by ACL. They would provide information about the remaining funds, number of loans expended, individuals served, credit building activities developed, et cetera, on those grant awards. So in terms of the award information, it is anticipated that there will be approximately three to four grant awards with the goal of providing the funding depending on the applicants submitted. The award floor would be $100,000 per budget period, at up to $700,000 per budget period for this competition. There is no cost sharing requirement for the Assistive Technology Alternative Financing Program. I think some some important information with respect to the submission of the proposals, the applications. You know, please ensure, of course, that the proposals are submitted on time. That'll be by 11:59 p.m. Eastern time, by the date that was previously mentioned, June 28, 2022. There's some important information also about the project narrative section. It's essential that the narrative section be submitted double spaced. Obviously, these are electronic submissions, but within that electronic submission, it would be on an 8x5x11 plain white paper, if you will, with 1-inch margins on both sides, standard font size no less than 11 point, preferably New Times Roman or Arial for that submission. The page limit for the project narrative is 25 pages, so please ensure that the narrative of the application does not exceed that amount. And so note that also the project work plan, letters of commitment, resumes of key project personnel are not counted as part of the project narrative for the purposes of the 25-page limit. If you do encounter system problems, if they exist for this submission, you want to make sure that you think about the submission error notification and or tracking number in order to substantiate any missing content that could have not met the application deadline. This is really important. When working with grants.gov, you know, there will be a tracking number and notification of submission of the application for this. Some of the content that is also important is that you have to ensure that, you know, there's your application as the applicant, that you're registered at grants.gov. Process can take several days. If your organization is not currently registered, you know, please, hopefully you'd have already done this already, begin that process immediately. You know, for assistance with this, I mentioned grants.gov website, www.grants.gov. Contact them at support@grants.gov or 800-518-4726 between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's important for all applicants to have a unique entity identifier number. So this is the UEI. It replaced the DUNS number that had been used previously. So you want to ensure that you have that and you're registered within the system for award management, the SAM, SAM.gov, and maintain an active SAM registration until the conclusion of the application process, until that process is complete. It's vital to make sure that all of this information is certainly current and active. Once your SAM registration is active, allow 24 to 48 hours for the information to be available in grants.gov. So, it's failure to submit the correct EIN suffix, the employee identification number suffix, can lead to delays in identifying your organization and access to funding in the payment management system. So these are, you know, some other things that you want to ensure that everything is kind of lined up with respect to the UEI, Unique Entity Identifier Number, as well as the Employee Identification Number, EIN, for the submission of your proposals. Register in SAM, obviously, SAM, prior to submitting an application or plan for this competition. Maintain that active SAM registration. Provide the UEI number so that, you know, everything is current. You must submit all documents electronically. Mentioned that, including all information included on the SF-424 and all necessary assurances and certifications for the application for the AT-AFP. After you electronically submit your application, you'll receive an automatic acknowledgement from grants.gov. It contains a tracking number, so ACL will retrieve that application form from www.grants.gov. So we want to make sure that we're all lined up with respect to that. So I mentioned that the due date for the letter of intent, if your organization chooses to submit one, is June 3rd, 2022. In terms of the layout for the content and the application submission, there's information in the priority where you can address, you know, the project narrative. We'd mentioned the 8.5 by 11 paper with 1-inch margins. The suggested length for the project narrative is 20 to 25 pages. That maximum 25 pages is the maximum length allowed. Again, the project work plan, budget narrative, justification, budget template, letters of commitment, letters of support, resumes, the TA of key personnel are not counted as part of the project narrative for the purposes of the 25-page limit. There are some sample components for the project narrative in this priority as part of the 25-page limit. There's the summary abstract. For the summary abstract, it would be no more than 265 words maximum. Description of the proposed project, goals, objectives, outcomes of what you're trying to achieve with this application. Problem statement, the nature and scope of the problem or issue the proposed intervention is designed to address within this priority. Goals and objectives, goals and major objectives for the funding to support the program and provide for the purchase of AT devices in ways that expand and emphasize consumer choice and control. Proposed intervention should provide a clear and concise description of the intervention that you are proposing to achieve with the project, including factors such as lessons learned, similar projects previously tested in the community, what you've done, the rationale, the success that you have previously achieved as an organization in working on this problem. Proposed intervention would seek again to enhance the ability of individuals with disabilities to have enhanced access to assistive technology through alternative financing loan programs. Special target populations and organizations. This section would describe how you plan to involve organizations in a meaningful way in planning and implementation for the proposed project. For the outcome section, with regard to this funding opportunity announcement, outcomes would include improvements in the ability of individuals with disabilities to purchase AT devices as a result of the program, supporting and or increasing the amount of choice and control among targeted consumers as a result of the design of the proposed alternative financing program. We focus on, you know, describing those outcomes, results that would be produced by the project, and as well as the use of the evaluation section to describe how those outcomes would be measured and reported on. Project management. The section would include a clear delineation of the roles and responsibilities of project staff on the alternative financing program, partner organizations, how they will contribute to the project's objectives and outcomes. Touched on a little bit about evaluation. The evaluation section would describe the methods, techniques, and tools that will be used to achieve the outcomes of the project. Dissemination, the section would describe the method that will be used to disseminate the project's results, findings, in a timely manner. Organizational capacity, which should include an organizational capacity statement, as well as some of the content of the organization, including key project personnel that would be working on this project. The budget narrative justification can be provided using the format included in the document, in the example document in the funding opportunity announcement, budget narrative justification sample format, which is attached at the end of the funding announcement. The work plan would reflect the activities which would be consistent with the project narrative and budget of the application. Going on to letters of commitment from key participating organizations and agencies, you would include information on the commitments of the project that will be submitted in the application. So the proposal would have letters of commitment, letters of support of additional entities, partners, community collaborators that would assist with the carrying out of the activities for the alternative financing program. So, I can't emphasize enough, obviously, that the due date is June 28th. So that is a little bit less than a month from today, May 31st, 2022. We have essentially 4 weeks for potential applicants to submit their proposals. Please do so. Please make sure that the applications are submitted on time. Again, strongly encouraged to submit your application a minimum of 3 to 5 days prior to the application closing day. You can always submit an application early if that makes sense. I've seen it where some entities have submitted an application and it can be a tricky process, but that has happened before where an application was submitted and then there was another application that was submitted on top of that. Don't necessarily think that should be the way to go, but just want to ensure that you're getting your proposals in on time. Don't want to risk that something might occur, technical difficulty with the submission if you're doing so at the last minute or at some point in the last day. Obviously, when submitting your application via grants.gov, you have a designated authorized organization representative submitting for your organization. You register with grants.gov as the AOR for this, and there are steps outlined for that. www.grants.gov/web/grants/register.html. If you're experiencing problems submitting your application through grants.gov, please contact the grants.gov support desk. That is a toll-free number. It's 1-800-518-4726. And again, you'd obtain a grants.gov support desk number and keep a record of that. So the funding restrictions, for the AT-AFP is fairly straightforward as it relates to other activities that are not fundable by HHS-ACL. What is not fundable? Construction and/or major rehabilitation of buildings, basic research, for example, scientific or medical experiments, continuation of existing projects without expansion or new and innovative approaches. In terms of the application review information, I'd like to get into that a little bit. So for the criteria, you know, note that reviewers of application report, you know, the application written in a format that follows peer reviewer criteria, contains a separate budget section, greatly facilitates the review process. You know, such a process for this priority, you know, includes in Section A, a proposed intervention, Section B, special target populations and organizations, problem statement, Section C. I think maybe this was flipped when it was when the funding announcement was issued and published, but it's C, problem statement, D, project personnel, E, organizational capacity, F, project management, G, project evaluation, and H, budget section. So you can include in the appendices, assurances, certifications, resumes, bibliography, letters of support, mention also, you know, work plan. So for the proposed intervention for the ATAFP priority, the maximum points is 40. And so for the AFP applications, there will be a total score assigned at a maximum of 100 points across the eight section selection criteria that I mentioned. The proposed intervention, Section A, is the one containing the most points, 40 points. For this section, the criteria would focus on, you know, does the AFP clearly and adequately respond to the funding opportunity announcement, you know, as described in this program announcement? Does the AFP include a high-quality plan for project implementation, use appropriate tools to ensure successful achievement of the project? Does the alternative financing program represent an exceptional approach to this funding opportunity? Will the AFP successfully address the needs of target populations submitted within the proposal, and as well as other additional identified needs? Is the AFP likely to build capacity to provide, improve, or expand services that address the needs of the target population? Will the AFP establish linkages with other appropriate agencies and organizations providing services by to the target population? Does the alternative financing program encourage consumer involvement, address a procedure to ensure consumer choice and control, oversight over the program, the extent to which the proposed AFP involves development, demonstration, promising new strategies to build on alternatives to existing strategies, corporate credit building activities, including financial education and information about possible funding sources. This AFP proposed to a design that would build statewide capacity, sustain the program, yield results that extend beyond the period of the federal financial assistance, which is that 12-month project period, and, of course, also the sustainability plan submitted within the proposal. The next section is special target populations and organizations. This is 15 points, and, you know, in determining the quality of the services to be provided by proposed AFPs, you know, the reviewers would consider the quality and sufficiency of the strategies for ensuring equal access for the services provided by the program. It's, you know, note that there's focus, you know, throughout all ACL-funded priorities, including this one, that want to focus on underrepresented individuals, based on race, color, national origin, gender, age, or disability.
the special targeted population section would look at the extent to which the services to be provided by the applicant would reflect up-to-date knowledge and effective practices to guide the design of the program. What is the likely impact of the services to be provided by the proposed alternative financing program and the intended recipient of those services, the extent to which the services provided by the proposed AFP will be collaborative and have appropriate partners to maximize the effectiveness of the project. Clearly it's important for alternative financing program to engage in partnering with communities, organizations, community-based organizations in order to ensure that there's a greater reach for the program. Will the AFP address specific gaps or weaknesses, along those lines within this section and services, opportunities that have been identified to address with the project, magnitude, scope of increasing services and addressing those gaps or weaknesses identified. So for the problem, in C problem statement, there's 10 points. Are the AFP's proposed services appropriate to the needs of the intended recipients or beneficiaries of those services? Are they focused on those with the greatest needs in the community? So in terms of the extent to which the services provided by the AFP, will focus on those in most need, and also the magnitude of the need of the services provided, the activities carried out by that proposed alternative financing program. The project personnel is 5 points. This section encourages applications for employment from persons who are members of groups that have traditionally been underrepresented based on race, color, national origin, gender, age, or disability with respect to the staff that conduct the activities of the alternative financing program, the time commitments of the project director and other key project personnel would be appropriate and adequate to meet the objectives of the proposed alternative financing program, as well as the qualifications, including relevant training and experience of the AFP project director and other key project personnel for the proposal for alternative financing program funds. Within organizational capacity, there's 10 points maximum, and look at the adequacy of support, including facilities, equipment, supplies, other resources that would be necessary for the lead applicant in the proposal to carry out the objectives of the proposal. Demonstrating commitment of each partner in the proposed project for implementation and success of the AFP, the extent to which the budget is sufficient to support the proposed project, and also the proposed AFP would involve the use of efficient strategies, including the use of technology as appropriate, and the leveraging of non-project resources for the success of the AFP. For project management, it's 5 points. Looks at the adequacy of the management plan to achieve objectives of the proposed alternative financing program on time, within budget, including clearly defined responsibilities. The focusing also on ensuring high-quality products and services from the proposed alternative financing program, and asked, does the applicant ensure that there is a diversity of perspectives that are brought to bear in the operation of the proposed alternative financing program, including those of individuals with disabilities, family members, guardians, advocates, teachers, community members, a variety of others within the field, in order to represent beneficiaries of these services and others to enhance people able to get assistive technology to meet their goals in community, education, employment settings. Project evaluation is section G. That's a maximum of 5 points. Are the methods of evaluation appropriate to the goals, objectives, and outcomes of the proposed AFP? Does it provide for examining the effectiveness of the project implementation strategies? Does the evaluation provide performance feedback and permit periodic assessment of progress toward achieving intended outcomes and continuous improvement in the operation of the alternative financing program? Before the budget section, this is 10 points, resulting in a total of 100. If we add it all up, budget H is the last section, and you would want to, determine is the budget submitted, for this FY 2022 grant award justified, with respect to the adequacy and reasonable resources that would be used for the administration of the proposed AFP. Does the AFP address the establishment of a restricted account, using control of funds, develop a sustainability plan for program administration? We'll look at the extent to which the time commitment of the proposed director and additional key staff on the project is sufficient to ensure that there's a success toward the establishment or expansion of the alternative financing program. There's some additional key points, to note with respect to the AFP funding opportunity announcement. There's an independent review panel of at least three individuals will evaluate applications that pass the responsiveness and screening criteria for the AFP competition. These reviewers are, experts in their field, drawn from academic institutions, nonprofit organizations, state and local government, federal agencies. The final award decisions will be made by the administrator of ACL. The anticipated project start date is September 1, 2022. For the award notices, the successful applicants will receive an electronic notice of award. Unsuccessful applicants are generally notified within 30 days of the final funding decision and would receive a disapproval letter via email or U.S. mail from the Administration for Community Living. The award is subject to Health and Human Services Administrative Requirements, which can be found in 45 CFR Part 75 and standard terms and conditions included in the notice of award implemented through the HHS grants policy statement. Reporting frequency, be notified by ACL with the terms and conditions on the notice of award. I mentioned that there was the within 3 months or so of the start of the project that there will be a submission of policies and procedures for the new grant that is issued and funded to start September 1, 2022. There's also the submission of the of the semi-annual report as well as a final report. Well, I've taken up about I think 40 minutes so far, and just wanted, you know, to pause for a moment and perhaps go into some content that has to do with some frequently asked questions for this priority. And so, you know, some of these are some questions that would be helpful for some of you in terms of the design of the application and the process for the proposal that you're intending to submit for this competition. So one of the questions is, you know, can we subcontract some or all alternative financing program grant activities? And so the, you know, grantees, not the federal government, decide whether it's in their best interest to subcontract some of the grant activities. That said, it's important that the grantee realize that the administrative responsibility and oversight of all the grant activities remain with the grantee. It's recommended when subcontracting, the grantee would retain sufficient funding to adequately fulfill the administrative oversight and sustainability responsibilities under the grant. There's a question, is there an upper limit on the amount of indirect costs that will be permitted? No, but applications that reflect lower administrative expenses will receive more favorable ratings in that category. For each 12-month budget period, grantees must recalculate their allowable indirect cost rate, which is a percentage of the portion of the grant award that is used annually for the program administration related to the alternative financing program. What is the process for obtaining an indirect cost rate agreement with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services? So there's the Department of Health and Human Services Cost Allocation Services, CAS, is the cognizant federal agency for negotiating an indirect agreement. Contact information and application process are provided at the CAS website, https://rates.psc.gov. Another question, is the AFP funding opportunity open to existing and new AFPs? The answer is yes to both. Can an application proposal support an AFP to serve more than one state? There's nothing in the funding opportunity announcement that prevents a multi-state consortium from applying. Multi-state groups or consortia are eligible to apply for this funding opportunity. Are the budget narrative justification and budget template included in the 25-page limit for the project narrative of the AFP grant application? As noted, the answer is no. The budget narrative justification and budget template are not counted as part of the 25-page limit for the project narrative section. What are the spacing guidelines for the project narrative of the AFP grant application? Again, it's essential that the project narrative section of your proposal be double-spaced. Where is information in the proposal included on how programs with previous AFP grant funds were spent? So the question is, if an applicant had received an AFP award prior to this competition, you know, what would they do with that information? And there was that section that I noted referencing Section 1 Funding Opportunity Description under 3 previous grant recipients on that on page 3 of the funding opportunity announcement. The applicants that would have previously received an AFP grant award from ACL under a prior year opportunity would provide that information. If applicable, the applicant submits a separate attachment that is not included in the 25-page limit narrative of the current proposal and provides that information on those award or awards that were previously received from ACL under those prior funding opportunities. So I think we have we do have some time remaining. If there was a this might be an opportunity for some questions following the content today. And so I don't know if anyone if we can go ahead and open up the line to see if there are any questions that we can have asked for this funding opportunity announcement.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star 1. Please ensure that your phone is unmuted and record your name clearly when prompted. And to withdraw your request, please press star 2. Question from Susan. Your line is open.
Hi, Rob. Thank you very much for today's talk. I have laryngitis, so excuse me. I have a quick question. Do you know of in the primary activities, are there any activities other than the exchange of money that would count as financing?
Are there any other activities other than the exchange of money that would count as financing? Do I know of any primary activities that
like
would
like giving away devices?
Giving away devices. Yeah, so the intent of the alternative financing priority, alternative financing program priority is for individuals to purchase and acquire AT devices. And so in terms of the purchasing, as well as purchasing of those AT devices, there's a set of types of alternative financing mechanisms that can be a part of this process for alternative financing programs to assist individuals to purchase devices for use. And so that is essentially how these programs work for individuals. And the main thing is for individuals to acquire needed assistive technology for the programs to sustain themselves, obviously, as well as enhance consumer choice and control, and
right.
to serve the entire communities and provide and the ability within the proposal, a holistic way of having the opportunity to have access to a variety of types of assistive technology devices and services.
I think that answers. Thank you very much. So you are, in fact, also making a distinction between state financing and alternative financing. So thank you. I'm assuming I'm correct, right?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I'll have to maybe look back at the the language here that in the recording. So
okay, but thank you very much.
No further questions on the phone at this time.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Thank you so much for hosting this call, this informational call, and this opportunity. And so I guess we'll be able to conclude this meeting at least 10 minutes early, right? So I hope everyone has a wonderful afternoon.